Hey, this is Sandra Yancey, CEO and founder of eWomen Network, and you are listening to the amazing David Wood on The Kick-Ass Life Show.
Want to make your life better? This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Hey there, welcome to the show. It's Tuesday, which means I have an amazing guest with me. So hang on to your shorts for a second as I indulge myself with a little chat. You know, listen to my voice. I mean, am I going through puberty or what? I have a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old, and I expect them to be squeaky. But I sound like I'm 13. Hey, how you doing? Somebody asked me last night, they said, it's Michael actually, he said, Dave, because I was goofing around at the table, and you know, normally when I shoot my voice out, when it blows out like this, it's because I've been telling jokes and laughing to the very wee hours of the morning, and that's what happened last night. And I burst out in one of my many accents, and he said, can you do more accents on the show? And then I was thinking about Daniel. Hello, Daniel. Daniel's a guy that listened to the show, and he kind of felt inspired. And what happened was he came over to the Mind, Body, and Spirit in Belize. And I'm sure that as he's listening to this, he's thinking, stop taking a piss. And he's thinking, what? I don't sound like that. But in my world, when I'm listening to him, he sounds a little bit like that. He sounds like this really, really great guy. And we talked about you last night, Daniel. This is one of the Kick-Ass Life practitioners that I met through the show. And I know we're going to see each other again soon. I hope, Daniel, your inventing world is expanding. He's an inventor. anyway, so I promised last night that I would start thinking more about bringing different accents to the show. And with one caveat, no one gets upset if I do an accent that, you know, you feel is like I shouldn't do it. I mean, just, you know, just don't think those thoughts. It's not fair. I don't know which ones you get upset by, so I'm just going to do them all. And I know about 30 different accents. They do, though, don't they, Delph? See that girl? She's my world. Anyway, I got a great guest on, but before I do, I thought I would do a few of the reviews from our Canadian listeners, Canadians. And this one says, spend some time with Mr. Wood by Howzy, September the 5th. And he gave us 5 stars. Well, thank you very much, Howzy. A great podcast I've listened to for over a year. And it's amazing how the show continues to be fresh and inspiring with each and every show. Even if you do not do nothing more than have the show's wisdom pleasurably, that's a great word, by the way, Howzy, pleasurably piped into your brain while commuting, you will look at the world differently. But if you actually take action and commit to actively investing in yourself, then watch out. The next one is by Dancing Debbie. Now, look, you know, when you've got someone called Dancing Debbie, there is not a chance that we shouldn't do something, you know, a bit like this. What do you think? I know, it sounds old. I'm old, right? So this is it's how I grew up. The Eagles. Shush. Just listen, you young people. About that, you know, Dancing Debbie, she says, I have truly enjoyed each of the podcasts I've listened to, as well as listened to some more than once. The messages I wish some of my family members would listen to also, but that will take time. You're right, Dancing Debbie. Family members, they are a little bit weird. The podcasts are making me think differently, how to do and say things, and how to make my life's purpose seem closer to reach each and every day. What about one more? This one is from Tara. She says, excellent, Dave and Jen. I like it when you include Jen. That's awesome. And it's from Kermit76, not Kermit. Kermit. Love listening to these podcasts everywhere I go. It's great to know there are kind people in the world, and these are people like David that can show the rest of us how to be one of those people and effectively change people's lives. That's true. We can do that. Anyway, I've been yakking far too much, and I'm really excited about my guest. I was a little concerned that some of you may think she's a little whoa-whoa, but she's not. And you'll kind of understand that right away. And I must admit, I thought, oh, this is going to be a little bit woo-woo. But this woman has such great range. And I love the idea that someone can be spiritual and deep and have these great connections to spirit or earth or the universe or God, however you call it, and have that sort of edgy and wonderful sort of view on life. And so I want you to sit back, relax, and listen to the wonderful Deborah Wilson. So, you know, here I am again, sitting out the lake. I'm looking out, and there's a beautiful windy morning, and I've been sailing all week this week, so my hands have that feeling in them that is, you know, from the wet ropes as I'm bringing in the main. But, you know, I'm really excited. I love the idea of the range of this show. And today we have a wonderful guest, and I'm really interested to get inside her spirit, let me call it that. And so, Deborah, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Can't wait to see what we co-create today.
Yeah. You know, something about you, again, we don't know each other. And so this is the sort of the opening of our relationship. And I always get excited about that. But, you know, you're a clairvoyant. And I know that that's something for me that I think people, they either go one of a number of ways. It's like, oh, that's all woo-woo. Or they they really understand it. They're fascinated. Or they kind of stand in the middle. Why don't you tell me, what does that mean to be a clairvoyant so that we can sort of get inside some of the things you do?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, it wouldn't be the thing I would always lead with, like, hello, you know, I'm Deborah, I'm a clairvoyant. Having the gift, which I believe we all have, and I would underline that, I would underscore that for sure. We all have the capacity to see clearly and connect in with what I call many different things, spirit, source, energy, matrix, unconditional love. I'm not attached to the words we use to describe the unseen and seen all together as a matrix. And so the clairvoyant aspect is the ability to be able to tune into the pictures, maybe moving pictures, words, different things with our inner vision, as well as actually being drawn to and being aware that we're being guided to certain things in the seen world that are giving us some helpful hints along the way that are guiding us to our higher purpose, to our higher passions, to our prosperity, abundance, and ultimately, truly to living a joyful life.
You know, it's interesting. And the reason I started with that is because I had the sense that you would be able to sort of really give us a foundation. Because I know that, you know, some people, they don't stay open long enough to get into the meat of a conversation when it comes to this area. Because it's like, no, that's all woo-woo, right? But there's something, I was at a school in Yelm, Washington. And you may have even heard of it. I can't remember the name of the school. But they teach children from a very young age to really trust that sense, that part of themselves. And these kids, like, do blindfolded archery. And, you know, and you can stand there, and these kids will hit bullseyes one after the other. And and you sit with these kids when they're 6, 7 years of old, years of age, where they've been that part of them, that trusting, that inner voice and that deep sense of self that really has been developed. And they're so wise and so in tune with themselves. Is that what you just said a little bit? There's that
in
every one of us?
It's in my belief and what I have been told, and I do say that I will say those words and I will share things as they come to me like that. What happened for those children, what is happening for those children and many children like that is their innate gifts, their innate abilities that they came in with are being nurtured. The opposite usually happens for most of us where we begin to have that kind of weeded out and stifled. And unfortunately, it's often done from a protective mechanism. in the family, when kids are so in tune to their parents and they come to them and they can sense and feel maybe something's up, maybe the parents had a bad day, or maybe there's some fighting or whatever, and children will come to the parent and say, "What's wrong, mommy? What's wrong, mommy?" And in our way of wanting to protect them, we say nothing, right? Sometimes we, you know, in the old paradigm, and it's still definitely there today, we often will tell children, "Everything's fine. No, nothing's wrong." So we innately begin to tell the kids that what they're feeling and what they're seeing or sensing in whatever ways that they're feeling that is maybe not right, because most of us look to our parents when we're obviously very tiny as kind of the demigods in a way. They're the people who love us and are there to protect us, and they're the people who are generally in the beginning very right for us.
Mm. That's so true. And then it gets worse for kids as well, right? Because then we start to, as parents, we start to tell them what they feel isn't right as well. "Oh, you're not hungry. You're not this. You can't be that, right? You're not tired. You've already slept, right?"
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Or, "You are hungry. How's that one? You know, you're hungry." "No, I'm not hungry," right? So the freedom the soul wants to have to say, "No, this feels good. This doesn't feel good. I like that color. I don't like color. This is what I want to do." We're innately we are coming from a positive aspect, and I think that's important to look at, but it just definitely also well to look at the idea that we could do some of these things different to nurture these upcoming children. And then also, what can we do for ourselves if that has been kind of stifled or shut down within us? And that is what I'm absolutely passionate about. And that's why we can take this conversation about intuition, instinct, whatever you want to call it, as deep as you would like.
Well, I can't wait. I want to deal with another group, because I think that, you know, in your opening, you know, use lots of terms, spirit and universe and source.
Sure.
And I want to throw God in there, or Allah, Buddha, other descriptions of people.
All of them.
All of them. Because if we throw it all in there and we say, look, you know, this conversation we're about to have really is inclusive of everyone. And yet quite often people who have a firm, you know, "I believe in God," sometimes this conversation is not allowed in so much, right? It's kind of like, well, I have to choose between this and my spirituality or my that deepest sense. But you would say both, right?
Oh, I would say all of it. Absolutely. And I absolutely have such a deep knowing that is part of my gift to almost, you know, I don't want to say permission, but to gift and give the permission to someone to say, you know, it's okay to use this word and it's okay to use that word. And in the grand scheme of all of it, what we're ultimately talking about is love.
Mm. That's so, I mean,
so love's inclusive. Love's always inclusive.
Yeah, it'd be funny if there was a religion called love, right? And so everyone in the world could sort of say, "I get that. That makes so much more sense." Which really it should, in some ways. I don't normally get into the political or the religious, so I'm not trying to push those buttons. But
no.
Something happened to me a long time ago when I first started training. I really struggled with the word spirit. Mm-hmm. I really struggled with sort of aligning myself and allowing myself to trust fully in this other side. And it wasn't that long ago. And a series of events happened to me, which, again, it's a longer story. I don't want to talk to you, not tell my story. But what happened over the 48-hour period completely transformed the way I thought about this and completely allowed me to feel a part of something that was so big that I'd never experienced before in any way. And, it wasn't woo-woo in any way. It was just it was almost like I felt like I was moving in unison with the universe. I could feel and sense. And I think that's kind of is there something in your everyday where you feel that? You feel this kind of connection, this deep connection to all things. Is that what happens, or?
Absolutely. But I would say, just like you had more of what seemed to be an extraordinary experience, it's not necessarily the every single day experience, you know, so I have had those experiences that just seem so off the charts to, you know, what previously was happening in my life, but also on a daily basis, I'm just completely open. I just have said, you know, I surrender to being guided and loved up and cherished, and whatever wants to come through me, through, again, we can use all those words, God, spirit, source, whatever. Even I use the words angelic realm. I love that energy of, and that freaks people too out, right? They think that's a little too woo, but But I love to tap into what I consider clean energy, and love is always a clean energy. And so on a daily basis, every conversation, as we're talking now, you know, I'll get little snippets, I'll get words to use. And so I'm always feeling that presence. But of course, I'm having my human experience like everyone else. And there are things that pull me in a different direction for me to look at, where I'm attached, where I'm feeling, you know, the ego coming in, where I'm feeling an ache or pain or needing to let go of old beliefs so that I can move into, you know, a higher state of joy ultimately.
Mm. It's funny, the word angel though, isn't it? Because it's like, you know, it doesn't matter where you look in the world, they come up in conversation or in biblical sense, or, you know, the word angel has been around and we use it a lot. Yet when someone talks about angels, sometimes there's that, again, there's that feeling of, you know, but truly, talk about your relationship with this, because I know it's important to you, but define a sort of an angel,
sure,
because it's part of your website as well, right? Your website is angelofprosperity.com, right?
It is. And it definitely, at some point I was like, wow, do I want to stick with that? And, you know, do I want to just go a little bit more mainstream and speak about intuition, which, you know, even that can freak people out too, but at least it has a more mainstream, you know, sense to it, and people are a little bit more open. Or if we talk about gut feelings, you know, but it's all the same thing. You know, we're just using different words to say the same thing. But in regards to the angelic realm, what I found for myself is I had an extraordinary experience where before this experience, I felt like I was kind of waking up and then simultaneously putting myself back to sleep, you know, just kind of waking up and then, you know, taking these long naps in my life and not really trusting what I innately knew, about people or situations or things to do. So I think this is the essence of most people's issue, is that we betray ourselves by not listening. So I had an extraordinary situation happen when I was very ill. In fact, I had had cancer at one point, and within a 7-year period, I had a very, very debilitating, what they call, you know, immune disorder. And I have so much to say about that. But side note, so what ended up happening was I was basically told, you know, this is it. This is as good as it gets, you know, kind of a good luck. You know, the general mainstream doctor advice was, you know, reduce your stress and eat right and, you know, get some exercise. And hopefully this won't get bigger than it is. But it was changing my life. It was changing my life as a mother. It was changing life in that current profession that I was in. And it was just affecting every area of my life. And I had an extraordinary moment. And I absolutely see that as an angelic intervention, because the word angel actually just means messenger. So I could truly call you, David, an angel, whether you would take that on or not, but you're a messenger. You're a messenger here on the planet. You're a messenger bringing other messengers to other people. So that's all it means is, you know, divine messenger, God's messenger, messenger of love, if you will. So I had an extraordinary experience. And from that day forward, I began to do what I love to teach, which is to trust that beautiful wisdom that was coming through in various ways. And once I began to trust that, I had an innate knowing that if my body could get into the mess it was in, then my body could also get out of that mess. And that's exactly what happened. I just began to trust anything that I was called to do or say or whatever. And I healed. And from that point forward, I stayed more awake for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting because this is, again, one of those conversations that I can almost hear people who are have dealt with sickness and don't have a sense of self-healing, where they could discount this. And all I can say from a personal experience, again, and I, you know, my listeners know me. By the way, we're in 171 countries, so this is crossing many, many cultures. But the idea of self-healing is something that I've practiced for so many years, and I've never had a family doctor, but I mean, I go into it. It's funny when hearing you describe it is something that I have never heard anyone else describe except me inside. Mm. I know what happens if I start to get sick. I know I can lay down, and I know that I can address that part of my body or whatever it is. And whether it can be a physical thing like a bad sprain, or it can be a sickness of any kind, right? But I mean, the ability to self-heal in the way that you just described is something that isn't taught anywhere, is it? I mean, can you imagine if kids were taught to heal themselves when they were young, and that they could stay in one place, they could focus on an area, And that they could, like you said, if the body can get into it, that the body really has the ability to get out of it. Why do you think that isn't more mainstream? Why is self-healing not something that's taught, you know, on a more global scale?
Well, and again, I think it goes back to the original part of our conversation where we have this forgetting. We begin to weed out what we innately know, what is good for us, and we begin to betray ourselves. And the truth of it, it's big business. I mean, it is big business, right? And most people don't want to take responsibility for themselves. They would rather put the blame or the responsibility on someone else, because then at that point they don't need to look within. And looking within, you know, it's got some task to it. It takes some energy. And for me, knowing now how unwell I could get, it's such a beautiful motivator for me to stay on top of being truly authentic, speaking my truth, speaking in ways, even if that seems very woo to people or way out there, regardless of that, it's the way I stay in joy and happiness. And what I love is I love that we brought up the children in a way, because one of the things I did and gifted my children is, you know, I had a lot of unwellness as a child, and it came from a place of, you know, even being scared to stand up in front of a class and give an oral report or something. I was very, very shy. I mean, to do this that I'm doing now just wasn't even in my realm. I couldn't imagine. Very, very, very shy child. And so often I would manifest, not consciously, of course, but I would manifest illness and I would get out of certain things. And as I became aware of what can happen and the permission we give ourselves, you know, to quote unquote, take a break, literally, I really just extended this gift to my children to say to them, you don't have to get sick to take a day off from school or something. You know, if you need some time for yourself to rest, to go play more or something, I need you to let me know, because you don't need to get sick to do it. Mm. And that was a huge paradigm shift for me.
Mm. Yeah, sounds it. You know, you said, I love this line you said. You said, we betray ourselves by not listening. Mm. Mm. And you've used the word betray now twice. And it's, you know, you said there was that thing about words, but that, I love specific words, but this betray ourselves by not listening. It truly is, for me, it sort of conjures up when so many people who listen to the show are sort of waking up. You're talking about this idea of, you know, you woke up or you, yeah. And then you'd go back to sleep. But it does feel like the world is a bit of asleep at the wheel a bit, right?
Well, and hasn't it always probably felt that way? I just think, you know, and that's okay.
I wasn't here always.
Well, you can tune in. I think you're quite extraordinary in your own ability to tune in. You know, I just, you know, that I think in every, if we want to say every generation, every time, there probably have always been various levels of being awakened. And that's an interesting thing too, to play with, because, you know, even as we could judge or try and measure all of that, I don't think that's really as important as just really going in and seeing, where am I personally today and where was I? You know, am I awakening to myself? Because in that taking ownership and responsibility in oneself, then that's how we massively can affect the world with how we're showing up, with how our energy is. Because I've even, you know, I even had a moment where I was tuning into this beautiful, pure angelic energy. And I was really questioning even my father, you know, who seems very, very sleepy in a judgment way, in a looking at him way. And I really got, you know, and that's the beauty of, for me, tuning into the angelic realm is the extraordinary answers that I get that seem so simple. And I would get even questions back like, well, how do you know that he's asleep? Like, how do you know he's not awake? How do you know that he did not gift this way of being in the world so that you could really shine, so that you could really become a seeker, so that you could help other people? So in that realm, is he awake or not? And it's been fascinating to just look at those things that come through.
Mm. Yeah, that is fascinating when you, because I sort of like, I find that there's a bit of a, I mean, you're quite unusual because, I mean, your website is Angels.
I've heard that, David. Well, yeah, but
Angels and Prosperity, where you get a lot of people who go into this realm where they feel that, you know, prosperity part is somehow forsaking the spiritual part of their life. Where you say both. Again, I love it. You say all, actually. I like the way that you
all,
say
that. Come on.
Have it all. But, you know, you say you can be connected. And I want to, I know what went through my mind when you were talking about, you know, you talked about connecting with the angelic realm. You know, when you look at great minds, Henry Ford, who sure. He was a guy that would sit quietly And he would empty his mind, and he would sit with a piece of paper. Einstein. I mean, you go through all these great people. They all tap into that deeper sense. They don't call it the angelic realm, yeah. But if there was a business guy or we were sitting listening to Ford or sitting listening to Einstein or someone else, then he may not use the same language, but there's certainly. I think everyone that creates success does have that deeper trust of self and trust of intuition. And they have that richer conversation that is very positive as opposed to that negative conversation, which sort of lingers on the surface, right?
Well, absolutely. And again, you're correct. You know, it doesn't matter again. And I think that's the thing if we could leave someone with, it doesn't matter what you call it, right? It doesn't matter what you say it is. I think the most important thing is, are you going there? Are you going there for your benefit, the benefit of your family, your friends, and of being of service to the world? And that's what these great inventors did. I mean, you know, if I just simplify it and say they tapped into their intuition, maybe someone would call it the matrix today, right? Again, setting aside the verbiage of what those words would be perfect for whoever, they tapped into that. And so every single invention, the ability that we can connect today and how we're connecting for this particular show, someone tapped in somewhere, had seen, felt, had a deep knowing of how to create this and made it happen. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, why wouldn't we all go there? And that's what I'm thrilled to support and teach people. And it doesn't have to have anything to do with talking about angels.
No, but what I love is if we said tapped into their, and everyone on the show filled in the blank, you know, is it
right.
Into their God, into their faith, into their angels.
Higher
into,
self.
All right,
yeah.
So higher self into whatever, right? But into their intuition. So if we said tapped into their, and everyone out there right now, you fill in the blank. Because really, again, what I love about this conversation is that it really is truly inclusive. And I want to lead a little bit to this whole prosperity piece in a second, but I wanted to clean this up because I just know how people think, and I know how people think themselves out of their next step. You know, yes. And that's what you say. You know, we betray ourselves by not listening. Well, we betray ourselves by listening to the wrong voice as well. That conditioned mind. And I want to ask you a little bit about that. You know, that negative voice that lingers in most people's minds. And I deal with it every day with all my students. You know, that sort of, I call it the imposter. The person we've learned to be as opposed to the person we were born to be. Talk yes. to me what's your take on this negative conversation that consumes so many people and that deeper conversation that's available that most people don't get to?
Gosh, where do we begin? How many hours do we have?
The rest of your life.
Yeah, exactly. Well, of course.
I'll bring you back.
Unfolding. Well, you know, I like to see that and call that our egoic nature. And I personally, what I want to say is I don't necessarily try and stifle that because I think it has a very primitive old way of being of protection and maybe self-preservation, but it no longer serves us in where we are today. And so I make a point not to squelch it, not to focus on trying to make it go away. I often just, you know, acknowledge it. Okay, so it's there. Like say I'm in meditation or something, you've got that monkey mind, that mind chatter coming in, rather than trying to sit there and go into some space of nirvana, of that emptiness or stillness or whatever, that I'm obviously not achieving at that time. I just go, okay, what wants to come through? So on some level, I welcome that it's part of the contrast between exactly what you said. We have this egoic, I'm going to call it egoic, that negative speak, that negative talk that's coming up. And then we have this deep inner conversation that we can be having. So we're here for the contrast. I mean, that's another one of my favorite words is contrast. We came for that contrast. And the beauty is, I think the beautiful part of that negativity is that it gives us something, like what I'm being shown is a runner going over a hurdle. It gives us something to move through, move past, move around, and it gives us an opportunity to see our growth. So I don't see it as such a bad thing. I think the important thing for me and teaching, you know, my clients, my students, is to reframe things, to look at where is it guiding you. If it's not guiding you into something good, something wonderful, then it's probably definitely that egoic voice, right? And if people can't discern, one of the things I love to teach people to do is go out and even do what you do. go sailing, go out in nature and begin to tap into that beautiful, abundant, rich, cyclical energy that we all are a part of, that you can really tap into and hone your intuitive capacities.
Mm. Yeah, you know, it's fascinating because this whole conversation piece, this inner conversation, is something that, like you, I liken it to this side. You know, the conversations are going on all the time within us. And it depends on the volume switch, right? And sometimes we choose to put the volume on the one side. And sometimes, again, a lot of people live on that side, the darker side. Let's move over a little bit because I want to get to this whole prosperity piece, angelsandprosperity.com.
Sure.
I love the contrast of that. You know, what we found when I was teaching a wealth program for many years is we would lure people in with money. And once they got in, we would get them into their hearts. But they wouldn't come for the hearts alone. If we said, you know, come and, you know, and experience, you know, this deep sense of forgiveness and moving through all this crap and then, you know, becoming wealthy.
Right.
They would never come. So we called it the Millionaire Mind Intensive. So people they'd come in there in their thousands.
Of course.
And then, you know, day two and a half, they'd be standing in a circle weeping. You know, discovering a greater sense. But talk to me a little bit about this idea of the angel prosperity. You know, what is that all about?
Well, first of all, I wish you could see me right now because I have the biggest, fattest grin on my face. I'm smiling at, you know, basically what you described as the side door, you know, getting people in to what they, you know, what they need. You know, like you're saying this is what you want, but what you really need is over here in order to get what you want. And I'm actually currently editing my first full book. I've done, you know, an anthology book with a couple other people, but the book is called It's Okay to Be Spiritual and Wealthy. And I'm why my grin is so big and fat and lovely is because I know people are going to pick up this book very much like why they came to, you know, your training, and they're going to get into it. And if they stay with it, they're going to find that there's not necessarily a technique to like a get rich quick scheme. We're talking about the letting go of unforgiveness. We're talking about being precise with your desires. We're talking about choosing wisely, you know, the words that you are speaking, communicating to yourself, what we were just talking to and what you're communicating to the world. Even talking about the body, you know, why is your body wanting to get, you know, your attention? You know, just so much in the realm of the waking up, the getting more conscious, the taking responsibility, which all is going to serve in the idea of wealth. And then what is true wealth? You know, it might mean something different to you, and then to someone else. But for me, I even sat with it and just, you know, went into, you know, that quiet place and like, what, you know, what do we need to know about spirituality? What do we need to know about material wealth? And truly, you know, to be a spiritually wealthy person is to really know that your thoughts, thus your emotions, you know, your overall chronic focus is what's really creating our reality. That's my belief. And then when we head to this idea of material wealth, true material wealth, it's not necessarily the things, but it can be the things. It's this idea of truly coming from a place of feeling joyful about what you've created. Because I think we know people who maybe, quote unquote, don't have a lot in the material realm. And they're very joyful. So is it really, you know, what is the true wealth there? And then we have people who have extraordinary, what we would say is extraordinary wealth, but they're detached. They're not connected. They're not feeling joy. They're just always on that hamster wheel of trying to accumulate more rather than feeling the blessings and the joy and the thankfulness and the gratefulness of all that they've created.
Yeah. I mean, and I think everyone, I was wanting people to really ponder on that because, you know where you're at as you're listening. And a lot of people in the show are, you know, I know that they're wanting to take that next step. And I do believe that both, I love, my favorite word is both. I like all as well, but I love both. You know, you can be spiritual and you can be wealthy. But there's something in your words that resonated with me right from the moment I heard your voice was that happiness, you know, the Dalai Lama, Deepak Chopra, any of these people that are more mainstream that people respect, even people of faith will look at those people and say, wow, you know, I respect these people. And yet they'll all talk about the end game being happiness, you know.
Absolutely.
And you ask that question, there's many people in the world who don't have much but are really profoundly happy. And we notice that in Okinawa in Japan or certain tribes in Africa that live the longest, you know, well, they're the happiest. And they're not always the wealthiest, but they're the happiest. But one thing that they truly have, which they say is one of the big why their lives are extended so fully, is they have this community as well. They have this ability to get together. And I was going to ask you about that. This coming together, you know, the breaking bread, sharing mm-hmm. your home, sharing your life, sharing those trappings of wealth. So, for example, I told you yesterday, the lady that introduced us, Beth, you know, I took her out and taught her how to sail yesterday. And for me, it's not owning the boat, but the joy of watching someone learn and mm-hmm. how happy she was. All day I had this buzz going on because I was able to share something I own with somebody and watch them come alive in the sharing. I'm not really asking you a question here. I'm sort of throwing out lots of ideas.
It's okay. Go.
I want you to talk about this kind of idea about happiness in this equation of self-understanding, in this equation of this angelic realm that you call it, which everyone's putting their own word in there, and this equation of prosperity. I mean, really, happiness, is it the end game?
I'm going to up it to joy. How's that?
I'm writing joy down.
I want to take it even higher to this idea of really, they're even using the word encapsulating this idea of joy, of extraordinary joy. And as simple as, I'm even being shown, just the other day I had a client, we were leaving, you know, I have three different offices within actually my home, you know, a beautiful treatment room and what I call my angelic room, where I'll sit with someone and do work. And then just, you know, the messier business office. Right. And so she's over and we had our session and I walked her out the door and we were finishing our conversation, and our conversation was actually ending on this idea that she, you know, she's separating and ending a relationship. And yet she's in a high enough state to have a realization that she knows that she could actually possibly be good friends with this person that she's been, you know, a partner with. And in that moment, we began to talk about this idea of unconditional love, because most people, when they break up, right? That's it. There's all sorts of shenanigans and chaos with that, and hurt and blame. And here, this extraordinary work that she's done has brought her to this place. And as we just even spoke into that space, a beautiful hummingbird came in, and I felt like Snow White. I felt like this, I've never, and really, I wish I could tell the whole nature world, I am completely safe person, come land on me, it'd be great. Not all at once. But this beautiful hummingbird comes flying through the tree in my yard and comes the closest I have ever experienced a hummingbird coming in my vicinity. And literally so close, I'm like, it's going to land on one of us. And we just touched each other. It was like, oh my gosh, like, stay still, just stay still. Let's just observe. And in that moment was such extraordinary joy. And to me, that's spirit, that's God, that's, you know, the nature beings coming to support our journey and just having us know that there's these wonderful experiences called joy that in that moment had absolutely nothing to do with money, did it? Or wealth, or my house, or my car, or anything.
Yeah, it's really funny. I told you the story that of my experience where I struggled with using the word spirit, right? Mm-hmm. I was working with T. Harv Eker, and he had this language in his teachings that I hadn't really, I didn't understand, so I didn't want to use them. I felt like I wanted to be congruent, so I wasn't about to use words that I didn't believe. It was just was everything. And what happened to me, part of that day, I told you the 48-hour thing.
Yes.
I had a bird land. I was standing teaching a class in the forest, and I was standing there with my arms open. I'd asked everyone to close their eyes, and I had my arms open. It wasn't like this big, deep thing. We were doing a ceremony for, we were working with some First Nations people, and a bird flew out of a tree and landed on my finger. And everyone, like, they opened their eyes, and I'm standing there with this bird on my hand, and it was that same feeling. But that things like that, three or four times that same day, a baby bear walked out of the woods and walked right up to my feet. I mean, it was crazy. And I know this sounds, I don't even tell people this because it sounds so far out of but you brought it up. So I'm like, you know, this is kind of like.
But now it's okay.
Well, I'm just saying is that exactly what you talked about is exactly what I experienced, which allowed me to step into this greater life that I leave, I believe. It was in a moment. I remember what happened, and it was a choice. It was like I woke up in that moment. But there was this kind of connection to nature that was surreal and indescribable. And the people that were there, I know, I mean, there were 40 people there. It wasn't like I was standing there alone, you know, and it was like, hello. It's surreal, isn't it?
It's absolutely surreal. And I think, you know, an interesting kind of side topic, but it's the same. It's this idea of, I think when people are utilizing even street drugs and different ways to, escape, but at the same time, people are looking for those kind of experiences. And often people feel like they're going to get that. And they do with various types of chemicals, if you will, natural and otherwise. And what I love to share with people is that you can have those experiences. You can see into things that are just what we're taught are virtually impossible as you tap into that inner guidance system, if you will. Let's call it that. That seems really easy and clean for people. Your inner guidance system, just something simple. And that is just so passionate for me because the extraordinary things that I've seen that now have become more everyday for me. And of course, not every single day, but truly has become my main way of living. It's just so extraordinary. And then when those days come, right, when I have an opportunity or challenge around a belief or something that's coming up that I have an opportunity to heal, what I love about it too is that I can move through those aspects a lot faster than I ever did before. Mm. And I think that's an important piece as a spiritual tool to definitely be able to give to people and share.
And something that anyone listening can tell is that you are joyful. And that's what I love. I love congruency, right? So, I mean, the moment I heard your voice, I wasn't sure, you know, when I was reading your bio and I looked at your website, I wasn't so sure what the conversation was. And I just trusted that it was going to be awesome. But again, the moment I heard your voice, it's like, I get it. We hadn't even really said much, but I can hear in that joy and the congruency in your words and your teachings. So we don't have long left on the show, but let's tell someone what's a great first step. Someone's out there, they're listening to us going on about birds flying into us and bears licking our toes and all this kind of nonsense. You know, we're talking about angels. It all sounds all kind of wooey. But what's a great step for someone who wants to wake up a little bit more and wants to step in to the greater self and really live joyfully? What's your sense? Where can they go? What can they do?
Well, I think the one word that I'm being shown is this idea of stillness, and although it can be in movement too, so that sounds kind of not congruent, but stillness, the idea of meditation, and just taking some time to get quiet. Let's use that word because often even the word meditation, people feel like they need to be in lotus position, wearing white. You know, I can't even get into lotus position, so it's not where I go. But doing something that you can just sit and just be and intend to connect with, again, that fill in the blank word, whether it's God or nature. I often will send people out into nature because people feel safe there. They feel okay there. And there's beautiful oxygenated air that's going to uplift their energy just by being in that. I highly recommend that they find some time each and every day, maybe no more than 15 minutes, just to be, just to chill out and to intend to connect with love. Maybe we'll just leave it as simple as that. We'll start our new religion today of love. I mean, that's a simple thing to do. For a lot of people, they freak out with the mind chatter. And one of the gifts that I was able to receive was a kind of a challenge opportunity was this gift of to produce some high vibrating channeled music. And so often I will encourage people to listen to the music that I've produced because it's 11 minutes long and some of them 11 seconds, completely guided music, beautifully channeled, high vibrating. And you can just go in and raise your vibration that way and begin to connect. So I give people usually a 30-day practice with that.
That's awesome. So, and I love that stillness, you know, and as you were saying that, you know, I've never done this before and you won't be able to hear this. But I'm actually playing the Beatles.
Fantastic.
All You Need Is Love. But I know you can't hear it, but everyone else out there. So I'm going to give a couple of seconds here with this new religion here. Ready? Here we go. All you need is love. I got a sore throat, so.
Yeah, I may have to ring in this thing. It may not be as funny.
That's so funny. I know. I'm sorry you can't hear it, but it's the Beatles singing "All You Need Is Love." I just thought it was such a great. And you're talking about music, so I thought I'd have a little indulgence there. Are you still there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I turned the volume down on the music and I turned you off. I do apologize. Right. So stillness, I love this. And I love the idea that you had a struggle there with stillness and movement, because what I find is that that's why I live and I choose to live always in very, very beautiful places, because I think that stillness is what it is. And right now in the cabin I'm in, you talked about that thing about stillness and movement, because truly you can get the same feeling in movement if you're, especially in nature, right?
Absolutely. And, people do running meditations wherever you are able to just go into that space of just being again in stillness. But again, you can actually be in movement for sure, because a lot of people say, I get ideas and inspirations all the time when I'm running or I'm bicycling. Great. That's your meditative practice. Then that's a place that everything begins to fall away that you're concerned about or worried about or whatever. And you come into a space where you can begin to receive. And often, David, I wanted to say, and I love that you brought up the Beatles, because they definitely, the energy of the music comes through for messages often all the time. A lot of people will get messages first upon waking, that moment where you've come, you're in your body and you're beginning to wake up. Often that's where people will feel a sense of connection, and they can begin to even tune into that time in the morning, have this expectancy just to not pop out of bed, not hit the alarm and take off running, but just spend a few moments just feeling into the space, visioning their day, asking in whatever way feels comfortable to them for human support, as well as the unseen support. Again, we don't care what you call it, love support throughout the day, and just feel into that. Because a lot of people that I work with will say, I woke up and there was this tune in my head. Well, if you wake up and there's a tune in your head, most likely, I'm just going to say most likely, I don't want to say always, but most likely there's a message there for you.
It's so funny, because that's what I said to Jen this morning, my fiance. I got up and I, in the middle of the night, I don't normally pee in the middle of the night. I got up, I said, I came back to bed and this song kept playing over and over in my head. And I said, I was singing in bed. But truthfully, I, it's so funny how in tune we are. But, I've been, my chosen time is early in the morning. I always wake up very, very early. And so I lay in bed. I love it when the house is completely still before the kids are up or anything else like that. And that's when I find, and I have done for probably maybe 30 years now, where I find that is my time, where I get my meditation in, is before anyone else. And it's actually quite beautiful if you're laying in bed with someone and you can feel the rhythm of their breathing and you start aligning your own with that breathing, and you're just in that very, and sometimes I can fall back to sleep, but when I do, it's almost like I have these really vivid and very, very, wonderful experiences in that half sleep. Maybe it's a deep sleep, I'm not even sure.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a lovely time, and it's a lovely time to set the tone for your day. And some of the things I like to do is just go, okay, so I can't wait to see what divine gifts and miraculous things are going to happen today. And then I expect them. I don't expect them to look a certain way. I don't get attached necessarily to that, but I expect them to happen. And that's a mindset. That's definitely a philosophy and a belief system that I have, because I look for good, and that absolutely helps, in that joyful living. For sure.
So if someone wants to come and work with you, I mean, obviously you do, you'll do one-on-one work. You've talked about that. Mm-hmm. You have your, the sort of group work you do, but can you sort of talk about if somebody wants to come play with you, how do they do that?
Love that word. First of all, play. I actually was talking to someone today and I said, why don't we just play together and have a session? It's just so great. So first of all, I love the word play, and was even invited to come into the space with you today in this idea of play and just co-creating whatever wanted to happen. How they can do that, first of all, just practically, angelsandprosperity.com is a way to contact me. And I do a lot of my work people can connect with me through my Platinum Coaching programs, where I either do this via Skype and phone. Other countries, I work with people out of the country. Some people come to my home and work with me in person. Some people who, go into my higher coaching programs will actually do both. We'll work with them wherever they are, on Skype or something like that. And then they also come to my home for intensives, deep intensives, to open up that wonderful spiritual connection that they already have. And then I do a very, very very inexpensive, almost like a try before you buy kind of thing. I do, and this is really, you know, being of service. You know, I have free stuff, and I have an International Angel Circle, which is truly just a simple call once a month where I connect with people, do a guided meditation. I give them a little tiny intuitive reading, and we go into a beautiful guided meditation to open them up, clear and cleanse. And that's just a great way to connect in. But if someone wants to work on a deeper level, the coaching programs in a session would be great. And I also have a radio show.
Tell us about your radio show.
My radio show, The Spiritual and Wealthy Show. And so, again, a place to do what we're doing here, just to connect in with people, to open people up and share some different ideas, maybe new ideas for them. And I actually just switched over to Toginet Radio. I used to just do a blog talk radio show and was kind of getting burnt out there and needed some switch and up the vibe. So I've been doing that since May, but I've been doing radio shows since like 2009. And again, it's just a fun, playful way to support people and connect with people that I may never meet. And I think that's the really humbling thing for sure. I just had a beautiful message from a gal in Ireland who has 3 children under 3, which I can't even imagine. Bless her for sure. That's just a huge undertaking.
Crazy person.
Amazing. Holy cow. But yeah. And, you know, she says she's been listening to my shows, my podcasts for years now. And she looks forward every week. She does her ironing and listens to my show. That's her sacred time. And, you know, that stuff's super humbling. So again, I love to have various levels of ways people can come in and work with me. And I even do a free group Reiki healing session that people can just send in a picture and what they're wanting, some support around healing. And I never speak to these people. I just hold a space for them for healing.
Awesome. Well, there's lots of ways you can come play. And absolutely. You live in Boulder, right? Boulder, Colorado?
I do. Absolutely.
I did my homework.
It's fun.
And if you want me to come and be a guest on your show, that would be fun. I'll come over and play with your group.
I would love it. Fantastic. Actually, I think you would be a fantastic interview for my book.
Oh, well.
So we'll have
I'm in.
That.
I'm in. How's that? Okay.
That was easy. Let me twist your arm. Fantastic.
Yeah. Do it publicly. I love doing that. I know that you'd love to do this, wouldn't you? In front of 12,000 people.
No, you know what? Would you like to? It's all perfect.
All right. I'll do a chapter in your book for sure. And lastly, I always ask the same question to end the show. You know, the show's called The Kick-Ass Life. And what does that mean to you? And I know you're very, language is important. So you probably deeply understand why I chose those words, not, you know, and what they really symbolize for me. But what do they mean for you? What does a kick-ass life mean to you?
You know, it really has a huge sense of freedom, authenticity, truly to be myself and to be able to do whatever I want. And really, you know, just this sounds goofy, but truly to be of service and make a difference. I am so, and that's why you got my energy straight away. I am so turned on by supporting other people to come play and to shift from where they are to a place where they could be, that the potential, that to me is a kick-ass life. That I get to do that on a daily basis is extraordinary.
Mm. Well, thank you, Deborah. This has been wonderful.
Thank
I'm sure we'll have you back. I know we're going to play more, it sounds like. I've already got a list of jobs I got to do, so it's awesome.
Not jobs, you know, that's one of those words, people, it doesn't have a good connotation to it. We're going to play together if you so choose. I would love it.
You know what? I mean, but for me, I don't mind doing a job here and there, but you're right. But for me, because I always do what I love. So when I hear the word job, for me, it's always because I choose to. So it's always playful. So
I get that.
No, go on.
No, I was just going to say for work, because some people don't like that word, but my work is my play, you know, and I get extraordinary pay. So, you know, it's all good for me. So I totally get what you're saying.
Well, you're lovely. I'm so glad that we connected, and I look forward to future connections.
Absolutely. And thank you. It was a pleasure to co-create with you. And I'm so grateful to our mutual friend, Beth. So thanks so much, and have a beautiful, extraordinary day.
Thank you.
All right.
I told you. Yeah, I know. I always come back and say that. It's like Michael keeps saying, why do you keep saying at the beginning of your show, I'm looking for a word and I'm excited? I don't know. It just comes out of my mouth. I mean, it's not a script. It's just how I feel. So back up. Amazing, eh? But before we go on, I mean, I think if we're going to play one Eagles song, we should probably play one of their favorites. Here we go.
So many great takeaways. As you know, if you listen in right here, I thought that, you know, when I threw in the clairvoyant thing right away, you know, it could sort of temper those of you that, you know, don't have that open heart to the more woo-woo conversations. And for me, if you're going to be a kick-ass life practitioner, you got to be able to sit with anybody and delve in with both, or jump in with both feet. And like I said to you, she is remarkable. I really, really enjoyed our conversation. And it really brought out in me a wonderful part of my life that I sort of almost, it's not I buried it. I just, you know, you get busy and you do as many things as I do and you kind of, you know, forget. But somebody brings it out. But I really enjoy the fact that, like me, she has this true belief in the art of self-healing. And I know I talked about that the other day. And if you haven't listened to the show, go back about three shows and I'll talk to you or I share a little bit about, it was on one of the Ask Dave shows. I think it was last Saturday, actually. Somebody asked me about it, you know, how do you, what's the meditation I use to self-heal? And, you know, it's such good stuff, you know. And I love the idea that she's really, you know, talks about spirituality and wealth, because a lot of people who are spiritual, they kind of feel that they can't be wealthy, which is, ladies and gentlemen, it's not true. You can have it all. You can be really, really spiritual, and you can be really, really wealthy, right? But you can't be right and rich. You can't be right and happy. Stop trying to be right. And before we wrap this call up, I think we'll play another. Oh, come on. Let's do it. Let's do an Eagles song. This is a great one. And I know you won't let me down. With this voice, I can't sing. No, I do like to sing. I do like to sing. Say it like a man. Let's do one more of these wonderful reviews from the Canadians. This is another 5-star with a little smile. And I like this one because she talks about excellent David and Jen. So Jen's getting a good call out, which is great. And her thing is called Loving Energy Yoga. Just listening to the 5 Habits of Happiness. Great job, guys. I've been deep into the work for years and inspired daily through so many wonderful teachings and movements in creating happiness myself. I feel we need to constantly remind ourselves and practice to live by these teachings. You're both doing a fantastic job. Keep it up. Kiss, kiss. Tara Devi, Healing Academy, Yoga, Meditation, and Energy Medicine. Thanks, Tara. Hey, you know, guess what? It's that time. But listen, you know, it's not a question of just listening to these shows. Here's what I want you to do. All right. So pay attention. No. Pay attention. Don't turn me off because it's near the end of the show. Listen to the end of the show. Till I say, see you on the other side. You can't leave me yet. I'm going to be here all alone. Anyway, I'd like you to think about this. You know, what's the one thing that you can do today that you haven't been doing? What is it to connect? Is it to smile at someone? Go first. Practice going first all day long. Just go out there and go first. You know, maybe it's time to knock on your neighbor's door and just introduce yourself, or take a pie over, or a bottle of wine. I left a bottle of wine on my neighbor's front door with a little note just saying thanks. And I, you know, I haven't really met this guy yet. But I just said, hey, thanks for being the neighbor. And this is the guy over here, and enjoy the wine. And then the neighbor, the other side of me, we just made dinner plans. They actually live in Toronto. And so what about that? What about you go first in your neighborhood and reach out? Do something really nice. Do something really kind for one of your neighbors. If they think you're a bit wacky, don't worry about it. But hey, I really appreciate you. I send my love and my affection. And I want to tell you, as I'm looking out from the studio window right now, I hope you put it on your bucket list. Come and visit me. Come hang out. Come hang out at the Kick-Ass Live headquarters. And yeah, let's see what we can do in this world. What about you link arms with myself and Jen and Michael and the, you know, the team here, and we take this to the world? What about it? What about? Are you in? What about it? Are you in? Really? Okay. I'm in. And, you know, mi casa es tu casa. All right. And I'll definitely see you on the other side.
That was kick-ass.